Thank you. Now, this would normally be the time I call on Sarah for her announcements, so I'm going to call on her. Y'all listen really hard because she's in Houston. Thanks, Sarah. But do please join us next week as we celebrate her ministry among us. I think they've had a great time in Houston, the youth, and the things I have seen. People are very excited and thrilled and energized in their faith by all the experiences they've had this week. Let us prepare for our worship. Please rise. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, full of compassion and mercy, abounding in steadfast love. Amen. Trusting God's promise of forgiveness, let us confess our sin against God and one another. Look upon us, your children, the work of your hands. Forgive us all our offenses, and cleanse us from proud thoughts and empty desires. By your grace, draw us near to you, our refuge and our strength. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us. In the mercy of Almighty God, Christ died for us while we still were sinners. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, we implore you to hear the prayers of your people. Be our strong defense against all harm and danger, that we may live and grow in faith and hope through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Have you seated? And with the children, please come forward. Right, it's just you today. Do you know what this is? Medicine. And what do you use it for?
To help you.
To help you when you're sick? Okay. This actually is, this is a big word. It says acetaminophen. That's a big word. You might know it by another name called Tylenol. Yeah, same thing. I'm just too cheap to buy the real one. So that's the same medicine as the other. And if you had a headache, you might take this. Or if you had a fever, you might. See, they're in there. Yeah, you might. There's lots of things that this is good for. And it doesn't contain any aspirin. Some people might say this is kind of like aspirin. It does the same kind of things as aspirin does, but doesn't have aspirin. This is called Tylenol because it has that big word acetaminophen in it. And if you got something wrong with you, maybe you're running a fever, you got a headache, you take this and you feel better a little bit later, right? Well, I was thinking about this because there's a story we're going to hear in our gospel reading in just a few minutes about Jesus. And he's teaching some people, and this guy named Jairus comes up and says, I need you to come to my house because my 12-year-old daughter is so sick, I think she's going to die. So Jesus, well, no, she didn't take this. They didn't have this back then. So Jesus is on his way there when this other lady who was sick said, I think if I just touch his robe, I'll probably be healed. And she was. And then Jesus went to that man's house, and the little girl had died, but he raised her up back to life. Now, that's a pretty cool story, isn't it? But see, the thing is, acetaminophen, Tylenol, and aspirin have a bad reputation. Because lots of times, if you're sick and you call the doctor, you know what the doctor will say? He'll say, take 2 Tylenol and call me in the morning. Doctor doesn't want to be bothered. Take 2 of these and call me in the morning. Call me later if it's still going on, you know. What if Jesus had done that? Do you think Jesus did that when that man came or when that one? No, Jesus was concerned to heal and to help people right away. And that's one of the messages we can get from this story is that Jesus is ready to help us and anxious to help us all the time. He doesn't say, come see me tomorrow, I'm busy teaching. Or come see me tomorrow, I got time for supper. No, he doesn't do that. He responds right away to our needs. So that's what I want you to remember today. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you are ever ready to help us. Lead us to turn to you, trusting and knowing in your love and grace. Amen. All right, go in peace and serve the Lord.
A reading from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust, there may yet be hope, to give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love, for he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And immortality to light through the gospel. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
A holy God. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." So he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know of this and told them to give her something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. A man approached a little league baseball game one afternoon. He asked the boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy responded, 18-0, and we're behind." "Wow," said the spectator, "I bet you're discouraged." "Why should I be discouraged?" the little boy said. "We hadn't even gotten up to bat yet." Some time ago, I saw a picture of an old burned out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been that family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfather-looking man dressed only in his underclothes with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. They were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. Those words were, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Those two stories share a theme. No matter how dark things look, the final chapter is yet to be written. Even in the midst of the darkest situations, the author of life has yet to be heard from. No matter what, there's reason to hope. God is on our side. That's the message we need to hear in our world today. And that's exactly the message in our scripture passages as well. We don't often turn to the book of Lamentations. In fact, I don't really think I've ever preached on it before. It's a dark book full of hurt and pain and anguish and crying out to God. When these poems were written, their nation had been defeated by an enemy. Jerusalem lay smoldering in ruins, its people carried off into exile. And there, far from their home, their hearts cried out in lament for all they had lost. But then, right there in the middle of it, right there in the face of a terrible and difficult circumstance, right there in the face of hearts broken and sorrowful, there is the profound assurance of God's care and love and providence. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Don't you see, even in the midst of pain and loss, the poet calls for hope. He calls for hope and more. He calls for confidence that God will act, that no matter what, we can trust in God. Our gospel lesson today tells much the same story. Indeed, this is a remarkable story of two healings rolled into one. It starts with a leader of a synagogue who came to Jesus and begged him to come to his house and heal his gravely ill 12-year-old daughter. But while they were on the way, the woman with the hemorrhage made her way through the crowd to draw close to Jesus. She didn't dare ask for his help. Women didn't speak to men in public that they weren't married to in those days. And what was worse, because of her hemorrhage, she was considered unclean, impure. For her, that meant that she was cast out of society. She couldn't worship with the others, and no one could touch her without having defiled themselves. Of one thing she was sure, a holy man like Jesus would never touch her. But her faith was strong, and her hope was stronger still. If only I could touch the hem of his robe, she thought. And that's just what she did. And instantly she was healed. And then the most unexpected thing happened. Jesus stopped and sought her out. And by the time it was all over, the healing Jesus had given her was much more than physical healing. She was restored, returned to society, saved, and given peace. Alas, but the interruption has led to disaster for Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. Messengers arrived to say that during this delay, his daughter has died. But Jesus said, "Do not fear, only believe." And you know the rest of this story, how Jesus went to the home and drove out the mourners and then raised the little girl to life again. But his words to Jairus are at the very heart of faith and hope. Do not fear, only believe. It's so easy in our lives to feel lost and helpless. It's so easy for us to see no way out and to lose hope. But Jesus said to Jairus, even when all things seem to have come to an end, do not fear, only believe. And Jesus says to us, when all our problems and difficulties overwhelm, the same thing. Do not fear, only believe. No matter how dark things look, the final chapter is yet to be written. Even in the midst of the darkest situations, the author of life has yet to be heard from. no matter what, there's reason to hope. God ain't dead. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Amen. Gathered as God's people, we confess our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and was buried, descended to the dead. On the at the right hand of the Father, and he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Almighty God, you are truly the giver of life, the author of love. Gathered here before you, we are filled with wonder and awe at your majesty. Thank you, merciful Lord. Thank you for all you are for us. Thank you for all the many blessings you give. Most of all, thank you for making us yours. Lord, in your mercy, we pray this morning for the youth of our congregation and across the ELCA who begin making their way home from the national gathering today. The theme of the gathering was "This changes everything," and we pray that your Holy Spirit will change them. Lead them in your way. Activate their faith. Now and always, fill them with hope. Lord, in your mercy, loving Savior, we live in a world of need. We've seen another shooting this week, and it so often seems like our world is falling apart. Use us as your instruments of healing and help in the world to the best of our abilities. Be with and comfort the poor, the hungry, the sick, and all those whom we remember before you. Lord, in your mercy, as we celebrate our freedom this week, God of mercy, remind us that you are the author of freedom. Bless our nation in your grace. Guide our leaders in your way. May you so fill our country that we are a beacon to all nations of your way and your will. Lord, in your mercy, be with each of us in all of life, O God. Guard us, guide us, lead us in hope for a better tomorrow, and give us your peace. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share God's peace.
Let us pray. Merciful God,
you open wide your hand
and satisfy the need of every
living thing.
You have set this feast
before us. Open our hands to receive it. Open our hearts to embrace it. Open our lives to live it.
We pray this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Filled with your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in your name, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. Jesus Christ, host of this meal, you have given us not only this bread and cup, but your very self, that we may feast on your great love. Filled again by these signs of your grace, may we hunger for your reign of justice. May we thirst for your way of peace, for you are Lord evermore. Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Praise the Lord. thing I want to take to her.
Thank you.
One already out there?
It'll take about 10 minutes.
I just
probably
found it back here. I'll put it back where I found it.
These lights staying on? Do these lights stay on? Right here.